Things this morning, things that I've repeated a little bit, but these are things that at this time of the year are very important for all of us to really remember and to understand. So I want to talk about, the days of awe, and also because we are in the days of awe. Those are the days, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And also, I would like to talk for a few minutes about the Yom Kippur fast, which I've spoken of to actually a little bit here and there. Always in some way, I'll bring it into a message right before Yom Kippur. And I do that because sometimes we have some new people that are with us, and you know, this can become a sort of a question that people think about. Maybe they don't ask me about, but they think about it when they're home and they think about it. So first, let's start off with the Yom Kippur fast this morning. In Jewish life today, the element that sets Yom Kippur apart from all the other holidays and feasts is the fast. Think about it, in all the other holidays and festivals and feasts, we have special foods that we eat. On Passover, we eat a meal. On feasts, on festivals, on holidays, on some of them we're told to have a great feast. And so none of the holidays or festivals or feasts, none of them call for a fast, or none of them even in tradition have a fast. And so this is the question, and this is the question that sometimes people will ask me if they're new in the congregation, or maybe they think about it because they hear us talking about fasting on Yom Kippur. So the question, should believers fast during Yom Kippur? So the answer is definitely yes and definitely no. And so I want to talk about the yes and the no this morning. If we're fasting for redemption of our sins, which is the reason that your traditional Jewish communities around the world are fasting, they are fasting because it's part of the redemption process. It's part of the atonement process where they believe that they need to do certain customary things, and one of them that is sort of a sacrifice for them, obviously, to fast or to be without any food for 24 hours. And so if we are doing it for that reason as believers, then the answer is definitely no. We should not be doing it for that reason, because fasting for atonement, fasting for redemption of anything, is, as the scriptures say, they become dead works. And so we should not be doing it if we're doing it for that reason. I want to go to our first scripture this morning, one that I use a couple of times throughout the year, but one that's very appropriate at this time of the year, Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. Again, and I'll probably mention this before, Leviticus 16 is the chapter of the instructions for Yom Kippur, and Leviticus 17 is the entire chapter that God tells Israel why blood is so special and why it is sanctified. So, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It is the blood. The reality is, it's only the blood that makes atonement. God doesn't talk about anything else in the scriptures that makes atonement for our souls. And so, again, we are given blood to nourish our bodies, to carry nutrients and oxygen to all the cells in our body, and to carry the waste out of our cells and the waste out of our body. And so the blood is to give us physical life, but it is also to make atonement for our souls, because it's given to us also on the altar so that we will have spiritual life, eternal life. So blood is has a dual purpose, the physical and the spiritual, as so many things in God's world have both the physical and the spiritual. However, if we look at God's word to see whether or not there are legitimate biblical reasons to have the fast, if we look in the scriptures, then the answer is definitely yes. We should be fasting at Yom Kippur. So now let's go to Leviticus 16, which is the instructions for Yom Kippur. We'll read a couple of verses. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at it, do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Again, and I think I last week pointed it out, let's point it out again. It's forever. It's a statute forever. It's not just something that happened before Yeshua, and it's not necessarily now after Yeshua. It's a statute forever. Otherwise, God would have not said, put in that word forever. And it is for the native of Israel, or the stranger who dwells among them, the stranger within the gates, the gerim. Those are the Gentiles that have cleaved to Israel. Those are the Gentiles that have taken upon themselves to be a part of the people of Israel. And today, in today's world, these are really the people that have accepted the God of Israel and the Messiah of Israel in today's time. So it's forever, and it's for everyone, not just for the Jew, but for the believer, the believing non-Jew. And I put highlight here that you shall afflict your soul. And so it's the first time that we see the phrase here. And so we have the words ana, which is to afflict or humble, and the word nefesh, which means soul. And so it would read, ta'anu et nafsho techem, that you shall afflict your soul. And God repeats this in Leviticus 16:31. We can go to that, and then I'll read that in English in just a second. Z'ini tem et nafsho techem. And so he says, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. Okay, so he repeats it. Afflict your soul, and it's a statute forever. And so we are to, first of all, to note that the blood sacrifice was performed, and then the affliction of soul was commanded to us. In other words, it's not in substitute of, and so it is not afflicting our souls instead of the blood sacrifice. And so Leviticus 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. And again, he says, you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord from evening to evening. So whatever this afflicting our souls is, it's to be done for 24 hours, from sunset to sunset, afflicting our souls. So let's look at it. Let's look at what this is. Let's go to Psalms, first of all. And we have in Psalms, of course, there's songs. When I wept and afflicted my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. So now we see, how do we afflict our soul? We afflict our soul with fasting. It is a fast. Ezra, then I proclaimed a fast. And then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, and we might humble ourselves or afflict ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. And so they proclaimed a fast. Why? That they might humble themselves or, as Ani, humble or afflict themselves. In Isaiah, I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but I'll back up. Isaiah 58, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? So we have some parallel scripture here. Why have we fasted? Why have we afflicted our souls? Because the fasting equals the afflicting of souls. And so we see a couple of instances where afflicting our souls is, in the scriptures, fasting. By denying ourselves the pleasures of food, it does a few things in our lives and in our spirits. We express our submission to God. We express our reliance to God and our reverence to God. And so what we do is, it is a sacrifice. Listen, it's a sacrifice. For some of us, it's a sacrifice when we go between lunch and dinner. Isn't it? We need a snack, a mid-afternoon snack. Oh my God, I missed lunch today. Or I didn't eat breakfast before I left the house. It's a sacrifice. And so there is a little bit of a, something we don't, something we don't do. You see? And so by not us feeding our physical, we have to rely, or it's a little easier for us to rely on the spiritual. And so hopefully it's used as we afflict our souls by fasting. It does something so that it turns us to God. And so we are commanded to do this. And we use this time of fasting to pray. We use this time of fasting to pray for our family and our loved ones, for the salvation of others. We use this time of fasting to pray for us to see hearts that are changed. And we know about this, and this is, you know, we could do a whole message on fasting and praying. Because fasting and praying, when you're at that time of afflicting your soul and you're fasting and you're doing without food, it's a wonderful time to pray because it allows us to connect spiritually because we take the physical out of the way and allows us to connect in a spiritual level a little bit more with God. And so this is why it's always a wonderful time of fasting and praying. And you hear this mentioned so often. In congregations, and you can read about it in scripture. And so we use this time of fasting while we're fasting, while, you know, it's a traditional thing to do, and we're commanded to do it, so let's use it for some real good. Let's use it at a time to pray for our family and our loved ones and our friends that we know that don't know the Lord. See, and we can pray that communities, entire communities' hearts will be changed. While the traditional Jewish community, you know, they fast, and what they do, they turn inward. They turn inward. They're moaning and they groan. Hey, I'm fasting. You know, I'm fasting today. Oh, I feel so dizzy. I'm this, I'm that. I'm fasting. You know, and people, they feel like they have to have a sour puss, you know, and they to let everyone else know that they're fasting. And so what happens is they turn inward. It's all about me because I'm fasting. It shouldn't be. It should be about him because we're fasting. And so what happens is in the Jewish communities, the traditional Jewish communities, they turn inward, but we can turn outward. See, that's the wonderful thing. We can turn outward and we can turn upward. We can turn outward and we can pray for people other than ourselves. It's a time to not just pray for our needs like we pray maybe in the lines here, but we pray for others. And for loved ones and families and communities, we can pray outward. We are turning outward at this time of fasting. You see, it's a good thing. So when we come and we do our feasting on the word on Yom Kippur, which is a wonderful thing that Diana came up with this a bunch of years ago. Let's spend the afternoon together here. You know, and it gives people not only it's something to do for 3 or 4 or 5 hours in the middle of the afternoon at Yom Kippur before the breakfast, but also it allows us to hear the word, to be taught about God and his ways by the presenters and the people that do our different classes. And then we have a time of prayer. We have a time of soaking music where we can just sit there in prayer and pray and pray for these things, these outward things. And we have a wonderful time to do that in the afternoon. We use it to keep fasting and turning outward and upward to God as we hear about God and the things about Scripture and in the different classes. It's a wonderful thing to do. And so, the days of awe. Yamim Noaim. Days of awe. Not really in the scriptures, but it's sort of implied in the scriptures. But we know that they were days of awe. And they certainly are days of awe in the traditional communities because they don't know what's going to happen with their lives. They don't know what's going to happen with their afterlife. They don't know what happens when they die. They don't know if they've been good enough. They don't know if they've done enough good works. They don't know. And so it's truly days of awe when they're gathered together on Rosh Hashanah and they're called together with the shofar. And they are called together at this time of the high holidays. And then they have these 10 days before they get to the great and holiest day in God's calendar. The holiest day. They don't really know what's going to happen on that holiest of days. If God's going to accept them and allow them to be written in the book of life. So that's why they are the days of awe. And the thing is, and I'm not pointing fingers to anyone because none of us are perfect, that we can use this time in the days of awe. We have 10 days. Now you only got a couple of days. But if you need to fine-tune some stuff, it's a good time to fine-tune this stuff or major tune-up stuff. It's a good time for us to do it. So let's go to Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Be still. Don't be so busy. You know, at this time of the year especially, wipe off your calendar of all the other stuff that you're doing. It's time that we're doing something with Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. It's time. We should wipe off our calendar months in advance. As soon as it's over, and all these are with the cycle of Sukkot, you've got almost a year to wipe out next year's calendar. You got your new calendars. Hopefully you bought them, they were only $2, and you bought a new calendar, and you could put on that calendar to start wiping out your schedule. Be still. Don't be so busy. And know that I am the Lord, he says. Calm down and know that I am the Lord. Clear off that schedule and know that I am the Lord. Don't try to jump ahead of me and know that I am the Lord. If the Lord speaks to you and you know that he's speaking to you and he tells you he's going to do something in your life, or you just feel in your heart that the Lord is going to do something in your life, or you know that the Lord should be doing something in your life, or you know that you should be doing something for the Lord and you're waiting for a sign from the Lord, don't jump ahead of him. Don't be impatient. Sometimes he answers our prayers in the future. So be still, don't jump ahead of me, so saith the Lord. You see, these are things that we need to do. And so this is a great time, even if you got a couple of days, just be still and know that he's the Lord and try to listen to his voice. I mean, this should be something that we talk about all through the year, but at this good time, it's a good time. Be still and know that I am the Lord. And every need out there is not your call. There's a lot of needs out there, and they're not all up to you to solve them. Be still and know that he is the Lord. Every battle is not your battle, people. God will let you know when he wants you to get in there and start fighting and battling. But every one is not your call. Sometimes we just need to walk away. Yeah, Yeshua did it. He walked away sometimes. When there was rebel rousers and they wanted to do something and they were starting to attack him or whatever, sometimes he said and he sort of snuck away, right? Doesn't say he just sort of snuck away and that was it. Because even Yeshua knew sometimes that he wasn't supposed, sometimes the battles were not his battle. And yes, he was God in the flesh, but he knew it wasn't his battle. And sometimes he just walked away. He fled. He knew that he didn't need to respond to every situation and to every person. We don't need to do that either. So this is something, actually, I think I read a couple of years ago, but it's just so wonderful. The sages, they give us excellent advice for these days of awe. Each person should carry two notes in his or her pocket. One of the notes should be the words, "For my sake, the world was created." And in the other pocket should have a note that says, "I am but dust and ashes." And when we despair of our value and our worth, we look at the first note. And when we get too haughty and too full of ourselves, then we should look at the second note. And it's good advice for us, especially during this time. So Yamim Noraim is about choice. Every day is about choice. But now it's a special time to make choices in our lives. No matter what we have been in our lives, no matter what we have done, and I'm not just talking about even this year, but sometimes we have stuff, garbage, that we've dealt with for years and years. No matter what's in our lives, we can change. We have that choice. We have that choice in our life. So Nora is awe. It means awe. It also means awesome. It means awesome. In Micha Mocha, Nora Tehilot, Nora Tehilot, awesome in praises. And so Nora is awe, but it also means awesome. So these days can be days of uncertainty if you want them to be. Just as if you have two notes, one in each pocket. They can be days of uncertainty. They can be days of walking around on eggshells, and this is what a lot of people in the Jewish community that believe in God, and they believe in they believe in Torah, and they believe in God. These people, they're walking around on eggshells. They have no, it's uncertain, because they don't know if they've done enough good stuff in their life this year. They think it's all about works. Especially if you don't know where your salvation is coming from. Or, these days can be awesome days if we know If we know that we know that we know that we have been given this wonderful, beautiful gift of salvation through Messiah Yeshua, then these become awesome days. They are no'arim, yamim no'arim. They are, but not days of awe for us, but they are awesome days. They're wonderful days because we know that God has planned this whole sequence of events, and we know that it's going to culminate in the sacrifice, and we know then as we go into Sukkot, it's representing God's kingdom and the coming together of the nations together, and we know that. So this is an awesome time for us. These are great days. These are days of opportunity that you allow them to be for you. And these are days that we know, as we know each and every day, we do know the truth of our salvation. And it's through Messiah Yeshua. So use these next few days in a great way. And we would hope to see people at our Yom Kippur services, one or the other, or maybe both. A lot of people came to both of our services for Rosh Hashanah last week. So we hope to see you, and may this be an awesome week that we kick off this week for each and every one of you. Shabbat Shalom. Praise your Lord.